Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Memphis. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's a big week. It is a big week across the city of Memphis. We have a lot to talk about. I've got George on the other side of the glass with me today. We are the we're the backup crew.
We're the replacements.
We're the replacements. just for a day. Jeffrey will be back tomorrow. Jeff will be back later this week. I think Jeff will be back next week. Jeff has the week off. We're giving Jeff the week off. But he is going to be with us today. Jeff is going to be with us today at 9:30. It is obviously FedEx St. Jude Championship week here in Memphis. So for golf fans, very big week. Very big week. Well, I imagine we're going to do a lot of talking about the golf tournament across the station this week. And it's obviously a big deal to have it back in Memphis. Jeff wrote a column about Fred Smith over in the Daily Memphian. You can go read that. I'll talk to him about that at 9:30. And at 10 o'clock, I'll talk to Chris Harrington, my colleague at the Daily Memphian, my compadre, co-host of the Daily Memphian Memphis Grizzlies podcast every single week over there. It's a chaotic week. I don't know if we're going to have a Grizzlies podcast this week because it's been so nuts for us, but I think we'll be back with one very soon, so I'm looking forward to talking to Chris about that. But, you know, it's also a big week for another reason, George. You know why?
It is.
Because kids are going back to school today. And I was worried for a minute for God knows what reason.
Mind you, I get this text while I'm driving in, too, from South Haven. I'm like, are we going to get in at the same time?
I've never been worried about having to be late to the radio show, especially as a fill-in host. Man, that would be bad.
That'd be kind of rough.
For God knows what reason, Poplar was closed by my house today. Closed. So the interstate entrance on ramp, I guess that's the word for it, was the number one option was out of the picture. And so everybody was trying to get on onto the interstate on Bahalia, and it was a nightmare trying to get here. I was very worried I was not going to be here in time, but here we are. We made it. All is good. And that was compounded by the fact that kids are going back to school. It is back to school week for Memphis and Shelby County schools, and that is obviously a very big deal. I know there's probably some parents out there celebrating the fact that their kids are going back to school. I don't know the feeling yet. I will know that one day here pretty soon. But it is back to school week. And that is always an interesting thing. Like I realized this yesterday because I don't have kids in school yet. And I realized that kids are going back to school. I was reading in the Daily Memphian and I was just sitting there on the couch with my wife and I was like, oh, kids are going back to school this week. That seems a little early, right? Like, there were, and she said that there were some kids in Mississippi, she's from DeSoto County, who went back to school July 31st.
Yeah, no, they did.
That's why I would revolt if I had to go back to school on July 31st. That's terrible.
Now, mind you, Mississippi is fun, and I am from DeSoto County. I have multiple family members who work in education, work in schools, in local high schools, but they always do that, though. You know, the weird Thursday before the actual full first week?
I guess
they've done that forever. Yeah. It's so strange, but that's just how they do it. I have no idea why. Because I remember thinking the same thing. I'm like, okay, wait a second. Why is it my first day of school on a Thursday? I get 2 days of you know, nothing.
See, what I don't like about
that. And then we start on a Monday.
What I don't like about, because you know, the first couple days, especially when you get into the higher grades, that's syllabus day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those are the days you're just trying to. I think my first days of school were almost entirely spent figuring out where my classrooms were going to be and also just trying to get a read on which of my teachers were going to be pushovers and which ones weren't.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You get that syllabus. You look at it, the first thing you're doing is trying to figure out how much homework you're going to have over the course of the year. And you're trying to figure out what things here can I weasel my way out of, you know?
Did you guys do it? Like I said, I also went to high school, all that, in DeSoto County. Did you guys also do like a completely separate homeroom than like any of your like early classes where it's separated by like last name? It's sorted by last name. So we would end up starting the day for, you know, the first day or two in homeroom where they do all the, like, okay, here's the full year calendar, announcements, all that. And I'm just in a completely separate classroom with, I'm like, I'm not in class with any of you people. Like, I don't have a class with any of you guys.
Well, I did not grow up in DeSoto County. I grew up in Kentucky, but I didn't have that. I don't even think we had anything really like that. It was just like show up to your first class of the day and just be there on time for school.
Hopefully.
When I was in high school. Hopefully. There's a lot of days we were rolling in there a couple seconds before the bell went off. But it was just funny though. So I sit in there talking to my wife. I was like, oh, so you guys went back to school in July? You went back on a Thursday? That was shocking to me. July is way too early for kids to be going. That's summer. July is still pure summer. You kids should not be going back to school in July.
Agreed. 100%. I will say this does feel really early.
It does.
But they also didn't think, it felt like they got, like, everyone got out kind of early this year, too. Like, it, I guess it's different for me because I have people that work there. So they always have, like, the extra, like, week or whatever, week or two after kids get done with school, clean up the classrooms, you know, whatever they end up having to do. But aren't they getting out in, like, the second or third week of May or something like that?
I think that's somewhat standard. No? Second or third week of May? Maybe it was later May. Maybe it's later May, but yeah.
Because I also never remember starting school in July.
No.
This does feel early. It feels early.
It's just preposterous. So I asked my wife, I said, well, you know, what do you remember about your first days of school? I'm going to go to the radio station this morning. And I'm going to talk about the first day of school for a little bit because it's a big deal. She said, I just remember the smell.
Oh.
I was like, the smell? She said, I just remember the smell of the first day of school, everybody coming back there, and that smell would give me anxiety. That's what she said. I can't recall a smell being my memory of the first day of school, but good for her.
If it's a similar, because I never thought about that either. Like, that's kind of a great point. Not the anxiety part for me necessarily, but like that weird smell of like some of the classrooms were probably freshly painted because teachers either, you know, left the school, whatever. So they had to rip everything off the walls. And then like the thick new coat of wax on the floors. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. No, so there is definitely a first day of school smell. I agree with that take. I think. But it's just not the thing I would have thought of. Like I said, like my first days of school, always, you're reading the syllabus, you're figuring out the homework, you're figuring out who's going to be a pushover, and then you also get a good sense of which teachers are going to challenge you, like which ones are going to be the ones that push you. and I'll never forget. And I honestly think that this is why I became a sports writer, because my whole life I was like a math and science kid. I thought that I was a math and science kid. I don't think I really truly ever was. And I'll never remember my junior year of high school going in. We had a teacher named Mr. Crow, who was an older gentleman who took his job extremely seriously.
Can't tell if those are always the best or the worst.
Oh, Mr. Crow, I mean, he used to give us a chewing about before spring break in high school.
Oh, okay.
Like that, like he was like dad plus teacher in that way.
Okay.
And but no, Mr. Crow used to make us write papers, and he announced this on like the first day of school. We had to write papers without using the letter A anywhere in any word. You were not allowed to use the letter A. And then it was like, we're gonna write papers and you're not allowed to use the letter E. I mean, that was brutal. Think about how many times the letter E shows up in everything that we're talking about. But I can remember those first days of school and just trying to get the gauge on what it was going to be like. And but no, welcome back to the teachers, and they should push the students, because I think it we all turn out better for it. But definitely welcome back to the teachers today. Welcome back to the students today. I think some of the other schools are getting some of the other surrounding suburb school districts are starting on Thursday. So not everyone is starting today, but it is the first week of school for most. And that is obviously a really big deal. The other thing, we already mentioned it. It is FedEx St. Jude Championship Week. I am looking forward to being out at Southwinds quite a bit this weekend, and over the course of the week. Practice rounds will start on Wednesday, and so people will be coming in from all areas of the Mid-South to prepare for the golf tournament. One thing that's always really, and this is something I want to talk to Jeff about, but something that's always struck me about FedEx St. Jude Week in Memphis is that it feels like so many of our sports teams, sports leagues, from the Showboats, especially to the Memphis Grizzlies, and to some degree even the Tigers, and you see it with their caravans, they all try to make their product a very regional product. Like, the Grizzlies do not just want to appeal, and this is something we talked about last week with the announcement that they're going to be playing internationally, but I've talked to so many people about this for a long time, and I know it remains a goal and something that they're trying to do, but the Grizzlies have always wanted to be a regional team. They don't want to only be a team for Memphis. They want to be a team for the Mid-South. They want people from Arkansas to come to the games. They want people from Mississippi to come to the games. They want people from Central Tennessee to come to the games. That has always been a goal of this team, and that's how you sort of expand your market. We talk about Memphis being a small market because of the size of the city, but you can expand your market if you can appeal regionally to everyone around you. I don't know if there's anything in the city that does a better job of having regional pull than the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Because every single time I go out there, I spend the first 2-3 days walking around, talking to people on the course, especially Wednesday, where it's very casual practice rounds and it's mostly just families with their kids. You go up, you introduce yourself, you talk to folks, and like everyone says, oh, I'm in town from Arkansas, right? Or I'm in town from Missouri, you know? And people are coming from all different areas of the country. And I think there's probably a number of reasons why that's the case. One is probably that it is a one-time thing. Right.
That was my first thought. It's an annual event. It's okay, if we don't go this time, we have to wait 365 days for it, if not more, depending on, you know, what happens, what changes. And then the other one, because as soon as you brought this up, I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, man, like what is the biggest difference in the draw for this
golf tournament? I think St. Jude has something to do with this too.
Okay.
Because people want to support St. Jude. People recognize what St. Jude means.
And they should, mind you, absolutely should.
I think the cause, the connections of the gigantic powers of St. Jude and FedEx that are attached to this thing, in addition to it being a one-time-a-year event,
yeah,
I think is enough to really pull people in from all different areas of the country. But I've been really impressed with what they've been able to do in terms of building this out as something that's beyond just Memphis. And here in Memphis, I mean, we'll talk to Jeff about it. We have Fred Smith to thank for keeping this thing here. And it has just become really an amazing event. I read in Jeff's column that they've sold more hospitality tickets this season, this week than any week of the past for the tournament, which is obviously wonderful news. We want people to come here. We want people to experience all that Memphis has to offer. And I mean, whether it was, I remember 2 years ago, I wrote a story about a man who had cancer, who had made some mistakes in his life and ended up in prison, but really wanted to go to the golf tournament as his splurge to himself. And he wasn't from Memphis. He was from the surrounding area. And then last year I wrote a story about a special needs little boy who loves golf, and that is his passion. And he's been through so much in his life, so many different surgeries and that type of thing. They came from Arkansas. So no matter who you go out there and talk to, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people from Memphis out there, but I love that there's just going to be a lot of folks from the surrounding areas getting to experience our city, getting to see what it has to offer, and really being able to bring people from all areas of West Tennessee and the surrounding states together, I think is a very big deal, especially when it's for something of this cause. So that to me is as I thought about the FedEx St. Jude Championship this week, that was one thing that certainly stood out. And then the other part is the golf, right?
There is still a tournament.
There is still a tournament.
Scotty is still going to be there and likely be the best player in the world.
Maybe this is a dumb question. He is very clearly the main attraction this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I would think. I mean, American is in the media, maybe not like the flashiest personality by any means, but he does still, he gives a pretty good quote.
He's coming around. I'm coming around on Scotty, because there was a point in time where I just was like, I just don't know what's all that interesting about this guy. But when you're so dominant the way that he is, like he is, there's only been two other golfers, Tiger and Ben Hogan. Tiger in 2000, Ben Hogan to win two majors the same year. And then, you know, the last 11 times that Scotty's had a lead after three rounds, he just went out and won it. I mean, that's incredible, incredible golf. And so I think he will certainly be the most followed player out there. And I think that goes double now that we have learned that Rory McIlroy is not playing this weekend, which is a major bummer.
I was worried about that. I mean, you know as well as anybody, normally Jeffrey would probably be sitting here as close to in tears as possible. He can't go see his guy Rory.
Yeah,
we even have the on Jeffrey Wright and Company every so often. We have on the writer of the book about Rory McIlroy. Like, that is his guy. I do think it's a shame for a guy with not just national but international draw like that to not be playing.
I think for folks that may not know why, let's spend a moment here to set this up.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour for a long time operated under a playoff system in which the top 70 golfers would come to Memphis. If you made the top 50 in points after that, you would play in the BMW Championship, which is the second playoff stop. And then the Tour Championship is played in East Lake in Atlanta. And the Tour Championship, based on your position of finish, you would get an advantage. So if you were first place after the first 2 weeks, and over the course of the whole season, you would get a 10-stroke. You'd start 10 under on the field. So you would be 10 under while some of the other players were starting at even par. Second place would be 8 under, so on and so forth. And so there was a significant reason to come to Memphis and go to the BMW Championship and play in these tournaments so that you could get your advantage. Because very, very rarely would somebody that didn't start with that big of a head start win the thing.
It would take an act of God, really.
Really. You would have to be unbelievable.
To be 10 under.
And the top golfers in the world would have, over the course of the whole season, would have to be pretty bad in order for you to eventually win the Tour Championship event in East Lake in Atlanta late in the summer. Golf, or the PGA Tour, essentially this year in May, said, well, you know what? That's not really competitive golf. That's not what the fans want. We don't need to have an event that's our championship that's already decided when the players tee off, which I certainly understand from a viewership standpoint. You know, it becomes a rough watch when you already know the four guys who have a chance to win before the tournament even starts. So the PGA and Jay Monahan decided, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. We're changing the format. We're going to make everyone at the Tour Championship start at even par. And it's going to be somewhat like a regular golf tournament now instead of this head start system. And as a result, they also moved the bonuses for this season. Like, so for example, Scottie Scheffler, because he finished first place on the in the Comcast rankings and the FedEx Cup rankings over the course of the regular season, he's collecting an $18 million check right now before he hits a single tee shot in Memphis. The bonuses are now getting paid off early. So there really is no incentive for the top golfers in the world to play in Memphis.
No, there isn't.
It is like a normal tournament for them. It is categorized as a playoff event, but Rory and Scotty are so far ahead of the rest of the field. Scotty obviously in first, Rory in second in the FedEx Cup points, that it doesn't matter if they play in Memphis or even if they play in the BMW Championship next week.
And that's funny enough, that's what I was going to just ask, is like, do they even then need to go play the second event?
Theoretically, they could play neither, still be in the top 30, and still start even par at the Tour Championship in East Lake, what, 3 weeks from now?
Yeah.
So And I hope that this doesn't become a trend. Now Rory has not come out and said, "Look, this is why I didn't this is why I'm not playing. I'm not playing because it really doesn't matter to me." But it seems pretty obvious that Rory McIlroy chose not to play cuz he thinks it doesn't matter to him.
I mean, I do think it's a mix of that. And then if we look at Rory's recent form, I do think he needed somewhere sometime to just have a full reset, right? He's been playing some pretty poor golf since winning the Masters. And I think that's totally fair criticism. I think that right now this type of change is not coming from the golfers. It really is just coming from PGA. Because if it was purely coming from the golfers, we wouldn't be seeing Scotty. We'd right. only be seeing the guys who really need to push their stock up the board to then even have a chance to play later on.
Right.
Now, one thing that I'm curious about now, because we talked about this last week, myself and Kevin Cerrito, ESPN is doing their 50 states in 50 days.
Yes.
Next week, do you know where they're stop for whatever state it is?
I do not.
The BMW Championship is one of their actual stops.
Which is in Maryland, I believe.
I believe that sounds right.
Yes.
But if that's the case, I mean, that's turning an already good TV product, like it usually is, putting the eyes of ESPN and SportsCenter and all that on it, and we might not even have two of the best golfers in the world playing. And that's not even including the live guys that aren't there
right.
that are huge names.
I will say, now Rory's the only one that did this,
mm-hmm.
so the rest of the field is here, as you would expect. And so what I hope is that this isn't a trend and it's more of just a one-off, because it has the potential to become a trend. And to me, that's slightly concerning. But I think again, the power of St. Jude, power of FedEx, the magnitude of the event, all of that plays into why people want to be here. And in addition to the golf reasons, I would expect that that's probably the case with Scottie Scheffler. And if you're the PGA, you know, you need your, like, we all know that Rory has pushed back on the PGA just as much as anyone.
Yeah.
Their rules, their structure, everything. Like, he has always sort of been in the forefront and sort of in terms of speaking up or bucking the system. You know, he didn't want to do media earlier on tour this year. Like, he has no problem pushing back against the norms of the PGA. But it's bad business for the PGA to have their best players sitting out PGA Tour events. So obviously that is a bummer.
I mean, we think sure. about it like that. I mean, we always say that about other sports and other leagues, about specifically the NBA, right? Guys load managing, sitting out, and how we always say, oh, it deteriorates the regular season product. This normally has always, specifically St. Jude, BMW, and then the actual championship, typically always has every single one of the best golfers that the PGA has to offer. And if this does become a trend where guys can just stack up as many points as possible earlier on in the season and then essentially skip out on a playoff event, I think that's a pretty, that's a bad trend. I don't think that's, I think the rule change is really what yes. is pushing.
I mean,
it's
a unique, it's a unique sport, unique system. Like, you know, we know hockey players, football players, like those guys would do anything to be out there in the playoffs because so much of the season is centered around that. Mm-hmm. And in golf, you know, it's there's a purse almost, for every single tournament.
Yeah.
And the playoffs, you know, is one thing, but they're not the major champ. It's still not a major championship, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the fix is for the PGA. It doesn't feel like there's any true solution, given the fact that they do need to have a competitive,
yes,
72 holes at Eastlake to conclude the season. But
I mean,
you know,
it is
a little bit of a bummer for us in Memphis.
And to your point, does it not seem like a self-created issue? Like, they didn't have to make this change. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard any.
I feel like they felt pressure. I think that they felt pressure to make the change based on just how uncompetitive it was in at Eastlake for the tour championship at the end. Like what everybody has played all year to try to
okay,
be a
then,
part of.
Then just
so.
change the number for the advantage. Like, it doesn't have to be 10. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe it's 5, right? Five
is like, we have seen guys move 4 to 5 shots in a day,
right?
Let alone
10 is 2 days of you being really good and the next guy being average.
Like, think about that. To actually make up 10, you have to shoot 67 over 2 days. That's ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous. We will talk more with Jeff Calkins when we come back. He had a nice column on Fred Smith and his efforts to keep this golf tournament here in Memphis. Jeff will bring us back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's me. And here to tell you that Leaders Credit Union is the place to do your banking. It's where I do my banking. If you need a checking account that makes managing your money easy, that's Leaders Credit Union. They offer checking accounts with no monthly fees, no minimum balances, convenient mobile online banking. It's listen, I didn't know what to think. You know, what's a credit union? What does that mean? Well, what a credit union means is that they don't have any stockholders or corporate overlords. All the money goes plowed right back into better rates, better service, better technology. More than 75,000 members strong at Leaders Credit Union, one of the most stable credit unions in the country, awarded top 10% of the healthiest credit unions nationwide by depositaccounts.com. I could go on. That's why I sent Claire to Leaders and her son as well. Again, to learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. Drew, thanks for handling things today. I told people back in February that we had this trial. There's a billionaire in town who's trying to, up here in the North Woods, who's trying to pave over roads and cut down trees. And being the tree huggers that we are, we're in a legal dispute. It was postponed, but now it's on again. And so that's what I'm doing up here in Northern Michigan. I appreciate you holding down the fort.
Wow. I was not aware of that. I thought that maybe your next door neighbor was just so fed up with your crap, Jeff, in Memphis.
No, there's a guy. So my grandparents built this cabin in the woods on a lake back when land was free in the 1930s, right? And you know, it's been a place. It's very rudimentary, like. There's no air conditioning. There's no heat. There's no TV. It is very rudimentary. And you get there by driving in off this road, off of sort of a main road. And a guy who owns a giant tire company in Michigan, and evidently now a lot of weed stores too. I don't know. He's one of the wealthiest people in Michigan. He bought a place down the lake, another sort of little cab. And of course, you know, is expanding everything. And he wants to pave the road and pave and widen the little basically country road that leads to the lake and knock down a million trees and whatever. So we are involved in litigation. And the problem is the richest people generally get to do anything they want. So who knows how this will turn out, but at least we're giving it the old try. That's what I'm doing up here. And I'm sad though, cause I'm going to miss the golf tournament. Probably. And it's obviously a great week in Memphis. And this week particularly, and I wrote about it in yesterday's Daily Memphian, you know, there's so much that Fred Smith, quote unquote, saved, right? Like we could go on and on and on. All the things that he's responsible for in FedEx. And I would put, yeah, I mean, the work that he's done at the university is immense. The work that they did at the zoo. I mean, the reason we have a world-class zoo, honestly, is because of the Smith family and FedEx. But the Grizzlies, obviously, like there's no question that without Fred Smith and stepping up, they didn't need to put their name on a building in Memphis. People kind of heard of FedEx in Memphis. So the Grizzlies wouldn't be here. But it's also very true that the golf tournament wouldn't be here. And one of the striking things about it was, I was talking to Jack Sammons about this, and something I've talked to Mike Glenn, who was the vice president of marketing there forever. Fred didn't play golf. not only did he not play golf, he didn't really care about golf. In fact, I didn't include this in the column, but Jack said that on his watch, as they, you know, whatever, they, on the back of his watch, it, what's the exact phrase? Waste not one moment or something like that. Something to that effect. That was the phrase on the back of his watch that he wore in his hand. And Jack said he would have considered golf to be as much as he had to do, you know, dealing with worldwide affairs. he would have considered going out and spending 18, playing golf for 18 holes, wasting more than one moment. But that didn't matter. Like, he wasn't a big NBA guy either, honestly. If it was good for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and if it was good for Memphis, you know, he was going to make sure that FedEx supported it. And plus, it actually ties in, you know, perfectly with FedEx's business as well. So there are a couple times that, you know, it got really close. Once was after, you know, after the ridiculous Stanford financial nonsense.
I love this line from your column, not to interrupt you, where Jack Sammons is talking to Fred, and he said that there's going to be a headline in the newspaper: Sammons blows it, tournament to leave Memphis, St. Jude kids to suffer. I'm curious, were you the one writing that?
No, he said that. No.
You had the story in the system already, and you were just waiting to fire it off?
Jack is, in addition to being a great Memphian and so important to that golf tournament, he is one of the all-time great talkers and knows how to tell a story. And it's why another reason he's so good at his job. And it just so happened that, you know, the day that Fred died, they were at the hospital, but not for Fred. They were there because his brother was having breathing problems. And so Jack said they spent, you know, all day together in the emergency room, just sitting there. He said, weirdly enough, it was kind of empty, and we were just talking. He told stories. He said at one point, a guy in a FedEx Express uniform came in who had chest pains. He said that Fred Smith, who had had open heart surgery, he got up and he went over to comfort the guy. You know, there's one of those employees. It could be amazing. You're working for FedEx and you have chest pains and you go into the emergency room and there's Fred Smith to comfort you. How about that, by the way?
Unbelievable.
That's interesting. Yeah. And then he said, and it almost seems too good to be true, Jack can tell a good story. He said, as they were in the parking lot leaving for the day, Fred had to go to New York the next day because he had other medical issues. And Fred said he was just really proud of the work that Jack and the 1,600 volunteers had done on behalf of the kids of St. Jude. Bravo Zulu. And that means well done, I guess, in Navy lingo. And that was that. And so they're going to have, obviously, a tournament this year. This year will, you know, 69, I guess, of the 70 best players in the world. And then Saturday there's going to be a 777 flyover, as there usually is, but they're going to have a moment of silence. The tournament will stop for a moment, and people will, you know, reflect on the remarkable life and contributions of Fred Smith.
Did you ever meet Fred? How many times did you? I imagine in all your years. Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, I sat with him once at a Memphis spring game open practice because Cannon was playing. And then I'd shake his hand. I never really much had a conversation with him. I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. When I got to Memphis, you know, you're thinking, I got to be a tough guy columnist, you know, I'm a columnist now. And I was, and so I came in, and at that point, I think it was the Mad Dogs had ceased playing. The team had just ceased playing about a year or two before. And I wrote a column. And so Fred still had a lease on the Liberty Bowl. And for some godforsaken reason, I wrote a column in my immaturity, ripping Fred Smith for not giving up the lease to the Liberty Bowl. It's the dumbest thing ever. Like, I don't know why I wrote it, why I felt what I was outraged about. It was clearly misguided, misplaced young punk columnist trying to, you know, think you got to be tough. It's one of the things I sort of learned over my
you've changed quite a
years.
Bit. I missed the tough guy, Jeff. I was not here for tough guy,
no,
Jeff.
What I learned is that you have to, like, there are times you have to rip people, right? And you have to call out things and whatever. But honestly, particularly in the real world, what I've come to realize is two things. One is, I just generally don't think, and I say this as someone who, you know, follows my beloved Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres closely, and the Sabres are a joke and the Bills are good and whatever else. I don't just like reading people ripping my team all the time. I just get bored by it. You know, I don't, it's not, it depresses me. I don't, you know, as even as bad as the Sabres are, like, they're horrifically terrible. I just don't want to hear over and over and over again how bad they are and how the ownership stinks. And how, like, so I just don't think, and it's sports in the end, right? It's sports in the end. You have to, but then the second part is, in terms of just what sports fans like generally, I think people like reading the more hopeful things about their team, if there are hopeful things to write, right? And then, but then beyond that, I think in Memphis in particularly, people feel down enough about themselves, their city, whatever else, that I think ripping isn't, you know, I really mean that in terms of the non-sports columns I write now. If you want to hear someone ripping Memphis, just go to Facebook any day of the week or Twitter or whatever else, you know.
Or the comment section under the column. We had Ellen Chamberlain on.
Yeah, read the comments under any column. We had Ellen Chamberlain on, who's our new food writer, and she's from Detroit. And we talked about this Friday because Detroit's a city that literally went bankrupt, right? Literally declared bankruptcy. And she's stunned by how, but if you're in Detroit and you say bad things about Detroit, people will fight you. And it's the same thing where I come from in Buffalo. Neither one of us is from a glamorous city. So I just don't think Memphians need, you know, need someone else piling on. So when it's required and needed and whatever else, sure. But I have changed in that way. I would sort of go out of my way to find targets, you know, before. Even then, though, it was a little overrated. Like, there's this idea that I was hard on Calipari. I wasn't hard on Calipari. I was only hard on Calipari, like, when he did things like, you know, he didn't want to suspend Jeremy Hunt after Jeremy Hunt beat up his girlfriend kind of thing. Then I would be, but not for anything basketball related, like, ever practically. You know, what, I don't know what there wasn't much to be critical about. Certainly, you know, once he got rolling.
On to the golf, the actual golf.
Yes.
How big of a deal is it, in your opinion, that Rory's not playing?
I think it's unfortunate. I mean, I know Scottie Scheffler's the best player in the world, but you can argue that Rory's the biggest star in the world still, weirdly, don't you think? There's at least an argument there.
I think it's on the heels of changing right now, but yes.
Yes,
I think it's very close at this point.
But the fact that it's even close is kind of, you know, remarkable. It just feels... I remember the days when if you could get, you know, when Phil Mickelson would come, you're like, oh, goodness, thank God someone in the top 40 is coming, and it's Phil. You know, he can carry the whole tournament. So the fact that you've got Scotty on a historic run, 69 of the 70 best golfers, I think you cannot overstate what a great tournament it is now, certainly relative to what it once was, but just generally. I don't think there's many people who would go but won't go because of Rory.
Yeah.
Jack Sammons did tell me, by the way, that they broke a record for amount of hospitality that they've sold anyway. It doesn't mean tickets, but hospitality. So that's all good. Having said that, you can't help but kind of take it personally. You know, like, he is one of the faces of golf. It is the playoff. You feel like he should be here. And the fact that he is choosing not to be here.
Is it a Memphis thing or is it a PGA Tour rules thing? Because in the end, and we just spent the last segment talking about it. I'm sure you're busy up there. But
right.
Like, the PGA Tour did away with the head start, 10 strokes, whatever you get at the Tour Championship if you're in first. So that's gone now. So there's no incentive for Rory to play, really, outside of just making the money he might win by winning the golf tournament. So why should we take it personally?
Oh, well, yes, because everybody else is here. You know, like, I mean,
I suppose.
In the end, it is true that there is no incentive for him to play. So if he doesn't want to play, right, therefore there's no penalty on him not playing. But that all stipulates that he doesn't want to play. you know? And so I think it's both. I think the rules now allow it. You know, the rules are constructed such there's literally no penalty for him not playing. And so I you do wonder, like, I'm certainly not an expert on the best way to structure this. It would seem to me to be, you know, if it's a playoff system, you should be required to play in all the events. But so then the rules do allow him to skip it, but that doesn't mean he has to skip it, you know. And so I think it's both. I think he probably is skipping it because it's freaking hot, or you know, whatever else. Like, I don't, you know. And so I think it's clearly the rules enable it, but then he makes the choice within that to skip it. And by the way, by skipping it, he is skipping, you know, the tournament with FedEx's name on it, right? The FedEx Cup sponsors tournament with their name on it. And, you know, and St. Jude's Children's Hospital, Research Hospital, he is choosing to skip that. And on the week when, you know, Fred Smith, you know, is being celebrated. So I think it's poor form on the part of Rory, honestly. You know, I'm not going to, like, whatever. I'm not going to crush him for it. But I don't think it's particularly gracious of him to miss out. I would just say that. Do you?
Well, he's kind of become golf's bad boy in his age, it feels like, a little bit. I mean, we had the drama with the media earlier this year, and now this. And look, I think he should be here. I think if you're going to call something the playoffs, then there needs to be some accountability that the best players in the world are here,
right,
in playoff events. Now, do I think that the PGA Tour is in a hard position? Because do I think it's a good product to give the top players in the world 8 and 10 stroke leads over the rest of the field at the Tour Championship?
Right, no.
And Eastlake? No. Like, I don't think that they should do that. But they need to find a way to make the best players in the world play in their playoff event. The reality of it is that, you know, the playoffs is one thing, but really the things that everybody want is the major championships. So you can try to make this bigger than every other tournament, but in the end, for Rory and Scotty, like, it's bigger than the other tournaments because of St. Jude, right? And because FedEx is attached to it. Not really for any other reason. They're just going out to play a regular golf tournament because it doesn't matter what happens for them. Like, for the guys that are 70 to 50, it matters a lot,
right,
you know, but not for them, you know.
Are you confident that your Bears are going to get Micah? You know, in a reprise. Here they are. We've seen this before. Bears on the verge of challenging. They got a promising young team. So what do? They go out and spend to get the best pass rusher in the league. We've seen this before, and took him on a playoff run. You going after Micah?
No, because it doesn't matter if the Bears have an awesome defense at this point if their quarterback play is bad. And Caleb Williams has looked supposedly extremely bad during training camp. So I'm not getting optimistic.
I was listening to Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, and they had Mike Tannenbaum on. And very clearly, like, the three people on the regular panel are like, oh, here's a good topic, you know, finally. Here's a great topic. We can talk about LeBron. I mean, we can talk about Luka's weekend and stuff. And then we can talk about the Lakers and the Cowboys, you know. And we can and we can talk about who could make deals for him and what those deals would look like and whatever else. And Mike Tannenbaum, God bless him, gets on there and says, there is a 0% chance that the Cowboys are trading Micah Parsons. This is all just noise.
I
would agree with
true.
That 100%. There is no way that Jerry Jones is trading a star of that magnitude. There is simply no way. Interesting question as to whether if someone came to him, like, for example, if the Bills came to him and said, we'll give you Greg Rousseau, very good defensive end, right? Very good defensive end, pass rushing defensive end, more of a sort of a run stopping and pass rushing, but a very good defensive end on a decent contract. We'll give you him, we'll give you James Cook, and we'll give you 3 firsts. Should the Cowboys take it? I think there's an argument that they should, because they're not good enough to win the Super Bowl right now, right? And so I think there's an argument that they maybe should entertain if they were to get over-the-top offers like that. But there's no way. No. There's just no way.
There's a certain level of ego involved when it involves Jerry Jones. And you know that is the case. So, I don't see it. And I was going to say, we can't let you escape without having to talk about this James Cook situation. We have Hard Knocks, by the way. Bill's Hard Knocks tomorrow night. Are you going to be locked in?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I don't know. It's interesting. The timing of this in terms of so James Cook, we've known there's a contract dispute. He wants a bigger deal. He wants to be extended. And, but then for Bills fans, it's like, oh, this is good. He's just showing up to camp. He's not holding out. He's not even holding in. He says he wants his money and he wants a long-term deal, but he's just doing everything you normally would do. Hey, good. We ducked, we ducked this one. And then all of a sudden yesterday, he holds in, doesn't work out. Asked what the deal is. He just says business. He keeps saying that over and over again. It's business. It's business. It's business. You'd have to wonder if it's timed a little bit to create some drama, on Hard Knocks. Like, it's been a pretty – they've got injury issues and stuff, but it's been a pretty boring training camp in the best way possible. And so so is this – all right, fine, James says. I'll turn up the heat a little bit as Hard Knocks is in town. So it's unfortunate. I think the same thing. I think ultimately he will play. I think Micah will play with a new contract. I think James Cook will play not with a new contract, but I think they'll both play. But no, it's I lament that this is coming up and this will now be a focus of Hard Knocks.
Well, I also wonder too. Like, I actually understand the Bills' reluctance to want to give him a long term contract because the other running backs 100%. Looked really good last year, right? Ray Davis?
Yeah.
Looked great.
Yeah, I struggle with it a little bit because except for Josh Allen, I don't think they have many players who are top 10 players in the league at their position. I think it's a pretty B roster, and I actually think James Cook is. And so even though he's in a position that is not great value, he was a real difference maker. He was great in the playoffs. He gets fewer touches than the other great backs in the league. So I understand their ambivalence, but they're not loaded with difference makers except for Josh. And so, and I think he can be. So I think it's a tricky one for them. But anyway, I know Chris Harrington is going to be next. I appreciate you filling in for me, Drew. Before I get out of here, I will tell people that if you're selling your home, you're thinking about accepting a cash offer. Listen, it is a very tricky market. I saw a friend the other day put his house up on Facebook again. Hey, my house is still out there. Anyone want to buy? There are reasons to take an instant cash offer because you don't have to get it fixed up. You don't have to wait. You don't have the suspense. You don't have to, have all these elaborate showings or whatever else. You can sell it as is, but not from one of these robocalls or people who email you just out of the blue. Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty do it differently. His offer is for full market value, offers the same convenience as those unsolicited offers, but you'll get paid significantly more. So if you're interested, contact Josh. It's joshhasthebuyers.com. joshhasthebuyers.com. If you're accepting if you're interested in taking a cash offer, make sure it's for full market value. That's with Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. We'll be back in a minute with Chris Harrington. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.